So
let me share you one story. Let me share
yeah, go ahead,
one,
go ahead,
one,
go ahead,
one
go ahead,
story.
Francis. Yeah.
So actually, Warren Buffett was very confident of his advice. Basically, in Tagalog, what Warren Buffett is telling you don't need to pick. No, you don't need to pick individual companies. You don't need to time the market. No, you just buy the entire market. So you just buy the entire market via that fund, no, that index tracking fund. No, he was so confident of his strategy that in 2007, or was it eight? 2007 or eight? He challenged the Wall Street hedge fund guys, to outperform his strategy. So Warren Buffett's strategy is just buy an index fund, every year for 10 years, no. And he challenged the Wall Street guys, defeat my strategy. No. So they set up a $1 million pot, price pot to be donated to charity. No, it's basically a contest between Buffett and between Buffett and the hedge fund guys, no. In order to prove a point, whose strategy is simpler and better. So fast forward 2018, the result of the challenge came out. No, the results were so far apart. No, Warren Buffett, using his very simple "just keep buying the S&P 500 index fund" strategy, yielded a 10-year return of 125%.
Oh, so it's that almost 12%.
That's an annualized compounded of 8.4.
8.4. Okay.
Yes, the hedge fund guys. Can you banter a guess? What's their 10-year return?
I'm thinking, siguro kahit mga 5%, 4%. I'm sure it's lower because it's hard to beat the market.
No, actually, you got it right. No, the annualized return of the hedge funds are 4%.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So and they traded. Warren did an annualized of 8.5.
Nag-isip pa sila.
Yes, and they traded. Yes, and they put in all this effort. So the 10-year return for the hedge fund guys is actually 48%, no? That's a 4% annualized, no? So Buffett did 125% 10-year return, 8.5% annualized. So it's almost half. So in medicine, this is what we call very highly statistically significant results.
Yeah. Okay.
This is
okay,
this results.
Analogy.
Yes. These results are more it's not by chance. Mm-hmm. It's not by chance. Mm-hmm. So what I did, so how I wish the result of this study came out when I started investing. However, yeah. it only came out 2018 or 19. Mm-hmm. No? So when this came out, this was the talk of the town. No? All finance journals was talking about this for 6 months straight. Some trying to prove, some trying to disprove. So this was the all financial journals. Ito lang yung topic for six straight months. So
I agree.
I wanted to look at our data, the Philippine data. So I picked the exact time frame, no, from Warren Buffett. No? It's a 10-year time frame. So I just patterned the time frame to Warren's, no. So Warren did 125 in 10 years, annualized of 8.5. The Philippine Stock Exchange Index, no, invested in the same time frame, yielded a 10-year return of 278%.
Wow.
That's 14% annualized. Why? Because the Philippine market is a smaller market. It's much easier to grow a smaller market than a very big market like the US market. Okay. So hindi pa ako na contento dito. So the 278%, diba? That's 14% annualized. Mm-hmm. What I did further, no? This is a 10-year data set. Eh. So at the 10-year data set encompass one recession. So what I did, I extended the duration of the study. So si Warren Buffett was a 10-year study. I extended the duration of the Philippine study to 23 years.
So kasama that's 2000, from, 2000.
So that's 1995, no? 1995 to 2017. Okay. And again, the results are the same. It's an annualized yield of 14%. And the, so, yun, it's a 14% compounded.
Okay, so minus inflation.
Yes,
minus
yes.
Inflation, so that boils down to mga may 11%, 12%. And then yeah, for
this is very good number considering you didn't
very good number. Any, very good number.
Considering you didn't do any research, you didn't exert any effort.
So the bottom line. Oh yeah,
my only modification, no? If I want to modify this Warren Buffett style, no, of what Warren Buffett recommended, my only modification is if the stock market is down for the year, I'll probably put more.
That's my only modification. But of course, that's logical because if it's down, the more you put
yes.
in the fund.
Yeah. Si Warren, just put 100,000 every year, regardless is up or down.
Yeah,
if I'm going to modify this, I'll probably put a lot more during down years.
Agree. So the bottom line, Francis, no? So but the bottom line for the listeners is instead of stock picking, no headache, the best would be to place your money in an index fund. Could be the S&P 500 in BPI or any Philippine index, which is actually more pala, no? So the best would be place your money. Just place every month in an index fund, Philippine
yes.
index, any
yes.
bank.
The idea behind it is you place in the same amount regularly.
Exactly.
So either monthly or annually or semi-annually. Actually, for doctors, no. What we get from PhilHealth, actually, we can put it here.
Yeah. So now we go to the next topic, which is compounding. No.
Yes.
How do you define compounding? I mean, you told us every month you place, right? And then you roll it the next time. How do you define compounding?
I have a very nice quote from Albert Einstein with regards to compounding. So
yes.
Albert Einstein is a genius, okay? He's not only a physicist, no? He's also a financial wizard, no? So what Albert Einstein said, no? Compound interest, I quote, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. So he who doesn't pays it. Mm-hmm. That's from Albert Einstein.
I agree.
So basically, what you want, basically in simple layman's term, no, the income you get from your investment, no, in the form of dividends, no, in the form of additional shares, no, you put back to the system. You put back in. So that way, your interest will compound on top of each other.
Yeah. Well, okay. I add to that, no? So the interest or the dividend, you roll it and then add some more the next month.
Yes.
You get it?
Yes. Basta consistently yung pag-add.
Basta consistent. Consistent. Yes. Like imagine after 20, 25, 30 years, it goes exponential after 10 years, eh?
That's the key word, exponential.
Yeah. So in compounding, in investing in index funds, you start early. No? So that's the key. Diba? Start early. Start placing monthly, but don't touch it. And then reap the rewards after 25 to 30 years.
Actually, okay, the perfect example would be, again, Warren Buffett. 80 to 90% of Warren Buffett's wealth, no, was actually the result of the exponential compounding on the last 10 years. So
nice to know,
majority of his wealth right now is due to the effect of that exponential growth in the last 10 years.
I didn't know that.
There's a chart, you can look for it, no? You can trace Warren Buffett's net worth since he started investing, and you'll see the big chunk, 90%, no, would be due to the exponential growth effect of compounding.
Okay, so for the residents, huh? Start investing in index fund. No, go to your bank. Start investing monthly in your index fund, 1,000 pesos. Eh, kung yung mga 50,000 pesos nga dyan, they should invest half of it, 20,000 every month. Imagine,
yes.
20, 30 years from now, you don't need to work, no? All you want to do is what you want to do, what you love to do. Now we're going to another topic, no? We're going to real estate and REITs, or REITs. Can you explain to us a little bit about some information about real estate and rights?
Okay.
It's a quick one.
So real estate, basically, we're talking about the physical asset, no, the physical land, no. So it can be a land, a condo, no. It's something physical. So actually, the real estate, no, in the form of properties, no, in the form of land, no, physical land, it's actually one of the best investments you can have. Again, mm-hmm. there's a finite amount of land, no. So mm-hmm. it's actually one of the good long-term investments. So that's a physical land. So mm-hmm. REITs, REIT stands for Real Estate Investment Trust, no. So Real Estate Investment Trust, no, it's sort of a mutual fund for real estate. So in the 1970s, the US government wanted the ordinary Americans to be able to invest and participate in the booming real estate market. However, a lot of Americans do not have the cash, no, to purchase individual plots of land, no, or individual assets. So the REIT law was passed, no. So REITs, kasi anong nangyari, our money as investors gets pulled together to a fund, no. The REIT company manages that fund. The REIT company purchases assets, no, purchases properties in the form of office spaces, clinic spaces, parking spaces, warehouse. Again, so they rent it out. They collect the rent. They subtract their operating costs, which should amount to around 10%. No, then they are mandated by law to remit back 90% of that rental income to us investors. So that's the basic concept of the REIT law. So in the Philippines, our REIT law was passed a few years ago. However, due to disagreements between implementing rules and regulation, we are yet to see our first local REIT. There are a lot of interested companies to offer the first local REIT. No, it's a toss-up between Ayala Land, Double Dragon, Robinson Land, no. Mm-hmm. So those are your main contenders for the first one to issue the REITs in the Philippine market. So basically, this is how I see it, no. It's the modern paupahan. So mm-hmm. Instead of me buying the apartment, me looking for a tenant, me collecting the rent, me repairing the apartment, me repainting the apartment once the tenant is gone, I go away with all the me. So I delegate that to that company, to the REIT company. So I put money in, REIT company purchases property, rents it out, collects the rent, repairs any issues, no? Kung may pipe na pumutok, siya bahala doon. Subtract lang yun. Then remit the rental income, 90% of the rental income back to me. So that's how I look at it. It's more of a modern paupahan.
This is very nice, Francis, kasi not everybody can buy a land, no? Not yes. everybody can buy a building and build and rent or sell. So this one is a great opportunity for all of us, no, to get yes. involved in the real estate. We will wait for that.
Actually, the Philippine real estate market is a booming sector.
Yes, agree. And then how much percent usually is the interest? You know, you have experience already with this in and I think so in a REIT, you purchase one in abroad.
So currently I have 5 REIT companies. So they are in different sectors. So what I invested in, I have one REIT company invested in clinic spaces for doctors. So they buy clinic spaces and rent it out to doctors, no. So actually maganda yon kasi as beginning physicians, no, you don't have to purchase your own clinic. You actually can just rent it out, diba?
Uh-huh.
So I have one in kasi that's one of the barriers to practice of medicine. It's buying mm-hmm. that clinic, no. So yon, I have one invested in that, so they rent it out, no. So yon, so clinic spaces.
Then so
I have
which country?
Which country? US. It's
US. US.
Yes, yes. Because the United States.
Before you go to explain, how do you buy the REITs from the US?
Yes, the same way you buy US stocks, no? It's via your international account
broker. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, just to give the listeners which is your broker in the US?
I have an account with Maybank, no, in Singapore. Mm-hmm. That account in Singapore allows me access to, I think, 50 international markets, including the United States. So okay. that's a simple account for me because I have only one international account. Gives me access to 50 different countries. No,
very nice.
So
very
that's very important because I want to I want to be invested also in the real estate market of Singapore and Hong Kong and Japan.
Nice.
Those are your big real estate markets.
Yeah, because as for me, I'm only in a US broker. It's called TradeStation, and I can only invest in stocks and futures and bonds and options. But for other things like Japan, or I can't. So I think you have a better, siguro there's advantages, disadvantages then, diba?
Yes.
So now we're the rights wala pa sa Philippines, so sa abroad pa lang, so it's kind of hard. So we have to wait for that. And we will, maybe once the REITs are companies, Philippine companies are out, maybe I could interview you again. Okay lang?
Yes, Dr.
Francis, yeah.
Yes, definitely.
And then we'll update them.
We have one offered by a local company. It's offered by Manulife. It's called the Asia Pacific REIT. They offered it last February, last year. 2019, no? So it's not a local REIT, it's an international REIT, but they offer it to Filipinos. So they cover the Hong Kong, Singapore, and Australia market, real estate markets. Mm-hmm. So that's one option.
Okay, that's good. So our local listeners,
It's called the Asia Pacific REIT Fund, something like that.
Okay. So that's from Manulife, right?
Yes, they are the first to offer.
Okay, nice. It's still an international REIT, but the local REITs soon.
Yes.
Yeah. And now we go to your favorite part, gold. So what about gold? What's great about gold now?
Okay. Gold is a very important investment asset, no? Gold has been money since 5000 BC. So it has been a store of value since 5000 BC. And it will continue to be a store of value even 200, 300, 500 years from now. So I want our listeners, no, if you have the time, Google nyo lang what's the investment pyramid. No, the investment pyramid, basically, it's different from the financial pyramid we discussed earlier. Basically, the investment pyramid tells you the hierarchy of investments naman. So at the foundation of the investment pyramid is no other than gold.
Mm-hmm. So that's the foundation.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
If you want to look at it, this is how I look at it. No? I have my retirement fund in gold. So every year, I allocate a certain amount of my income. So let's say 5%, 5 to 10% of my annual income to my retirement fund, no? And that retirement fund consists of gold.
Yes. So your gold, where do you get your gold?
Okay. So Singapore is the gold center of Southeast Asia. It used to be Hong Kong, but Hong Kong reverted back as Chinese territory. And Singapore took its place, no, as the gold center of Asia. So next time you have a vacation or a conference in Singapore, you might want to take a look, no, at the gold center in Singapore. So it, yung
yeah, I remember when I went to Singapore, I went to Bullion Star. The Bullion Star, they can keep your gold for you in their vault.
Yes.
But you know,
for a fee.
So even though you're not there, even though you're here in the Philippines, you can still buy gold, but physically you have, it's just that it's in their vault.
Yes.
No? Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. Or
so
you can,
that's an option.
You can also, yes. Another option is you can open a Singapore account, even one of the banks in Singapore. And you can get a safety deposit box. You can do it that way as well.
Ah, okay. So there's options. So you can
there's,
buy the
there's phone. A lot of options. There's a lot of options. Yeah, you, have, so... you just have to consult your financial advisor. No, they'll help you. They'll help you. Okay. They're just strict with the KYC. You know your customer rule because of the money laundering. But they're very accommodative of us Filipinos. So no problem with that.
Okay, so now we're finished with gold. It's very important. It's a very nice asset. And actually, any other comments with gold?
Yes, there came out a study 2 years ago. It's a study by JP Morgan. It listed down. It's a retrospective study comparing all the different asset classes for 20 years. So gold ended up to be the top two. Second best performing asset class with a compounded annualized growth rate of 8% per annum. Mm. So again, it just emphasizes gold is a great store of value. And it's actually good as a retirement fund. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a scenario. Let's say you have your retirement fund in peso. Diba? Then 30 years after practicing medicine for 30 years, you're going to retire. However, 30 years from now, we don't know the strength of the Philippine peso. Mm-hmm. Diba? During crisis, if you can recall, during the 1997-1998 crisis, the Philippine US dollar exchange rate went up overnight from 23:1 to 50:1. I'm sure you remember that.
I remember that.
Yeah, suddenly, your peso is worth 50% of what it should be worth overnight. So just imagine if you're retiring and a financial crisis hit us during that time, then suddenly peso dollar rate suddenly becomes 100:1. Then suddenly the value of your peso depreciate was cut by half. So you will be hit. No, so gold being a storage of value protects you from that scenario. Why? Let's say you retire. So once you retire, you can sell gold to whichever currency is the strongest at that time. So I'll sell it to USD, I'll sell it to SGD, Singapore dollar, I can sell it to yen, then convert to peso. That way, I don't lose anything should the peso devaluate.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. So,
this is my advice for our fellow doctors. Set aside a few percentage of your annual income for your retirement fund. You can even buy one gold coin a year. One gold coin is just $1,700. So you can do that one gold coin a year. So you practice medicine for 30 years. By the time you retire, you'll be able to accumulate 30 gold coins. And again, those coins will grow in value by 8% per annum, more or less.
Nice.
Sige. More or less.
Going ko nga yan.
More or less. Okay, that's the... So, okay, that's nice. So actually, I made the computation for you already. So by the time you retire, you would have saved up 7.2 million pesos.
What?
Yes. Without
so that's
knowing.
How many years?
30 years of practice. 30 years of practice buying just one coin a year.
Nice.
You would have saved 7.2. But the value of which, since it's growing at 8% per annum compounded, the value of which upon your retirement is 17.4.
Nice.
So you basically earned additional 10. Million.
Okay.
That's so if you're doing the minimum of one coin a year.
Wow. So that there's so many, there's so many options naman talaga. There's gold, there's the index fund, there's bonds. So I think we've touched almost everything, no? So the listeners know what they want to do with their savings, no? Lastly, no? Quick one, no? Cryptocurrency. What do you think about Bitcoin, Litecoin, all of these cryptocurrency?
Okay. by the very name of it, no, cryptocurrency, it's a currency. So it's actually a form of cash. It just so happens, say it was initially designed, no, your Bitcoin is a replacement or a supplement to augment cash, no, because it's easily transferable, easily divisible, no, those are your functions, no, of your Bitcoin. So the only thing that happened was the price of Bitcoin was so volatile, no, it goes up 1000%, goes down 500%. So yun lang yung ano niya, no, so very volatile kaya siya naging some people think of it as an investment, pero in the purest form it's a currency. It's just the same as your peso, your USD, your yen, your SGD. So parang ganun siya, it's just another form of that. It's just your digital form of your paper money.
I agree.
Yung initial idea initial, behind. Yeah. Yes, that was how it was conceived, no? That's what's the initial idea behind it. However, since Bitcoin went from
$1
yeah, way below, cents. I think it's way cents. Cents. Yes, cents. Yes. Yes, way below to 20,000 USD, no? So doon pumasok yung allure niya as a possible investment.
Yeah,
instrument.
I agree. I agree.
The problem is, number one, we don't have sufficient data, so as of now, to really consider it as an investment. It's actually not yet part of the traditional asset classes.
Yeah.
Okay. So far. Mm-hmm. But that might change a few years from now with mass adoption. So if more people begin having it and using it, that might change. No, it might be in the future. It might be considered as an investment asset class on its own, separate from cash. No.
Okay. So what do you recommend? Maybe buy half a Bitcoin or one Bitcoin. You know, just to at least have some, right?
Okay. Bitcoin again is a play in of scarcity. It's like gold. No. So again, Bitcoin has been compared as the digital gold, no? So there's a finite amount of gold, no? The same way, there's a finite amount of Bitcoin. There's only 21 million Bitcoins forever.
Yes.
So the Philippine population is 100 million. It's not even enough to give every Filipino a Bitcoin. So if you have extra, you have extra cash, no? Or this is the better way to do it, no? If you have earned extra income from your other investment instruments, so this is earned income already, this is tubo, you might want to use some of those tubo to purchase some cryptocurrency.
And just hold it for a long time.
Yeah, yun yung problem. It's too new. It's not even 10 years old. It's not even 10 years old. We don't know 10 years from now if it will even be there. The early adopters would either be geniuses and be treated as kings, no, or be considered fools 10 years from now. We don't know.
That's so we still don't know.
We don't know.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
But do you have Bitcoin? Do you have?
Yes, I have a lot.
Okay. So which is good? Because I also have. Yes. So that's the good part. But, so our plan is yes.
The difference is around 1,000 USD. No, that was the time it was the same price as gold. So what I did, so for every Bitcoin gold, no, so that my Bitcoin, nice. so that my Bitcoin is hedged on gold. Why? Because I know gold is certain. 20 years from now, most probably gold will be at around 20,000 USD. No, Bitcoin is uncertain. So you want to hedge something uncertain to something certain. So fast forward 20 years from now. 20 years from now, there's two scenarios. No, there's two scenarios that can happen. Either, okay, scenario one, gold is 20,000 USD. Bitcoin is zero USD. Mm-hmm. So 20,000 minus my cost for that BTC, no, Bitcoin, is 1,000, is 19,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I still end up net positive 19. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Okay yan, ah.
Scenario B. Okay, scenario B. Gold is 20,000 USD. Bitcoin is 1 million USD.
Oh, better.
Okay, net. What's my net? 1 million 20,000 mm-hmm. USD. Okay, so okay, yan, that's how you ano, that's higher level of investing already. That's a very technical. It's called hedging already. You put something uncertain, you play something uncertain, you tie it up to something certain so that you minimize your risk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice. Ang dami ko natutunan. This is a very nice. Actually, almost an hour na, no? So, maybe for the last part, no? In times of a crisis like this, no? What should we do? No, what should we do in a times of crisis, like a quarantine, your investments, you don't know what's going to happen. What do you do?
Okay. So, in times of crisis, first, do not panic. Okay? Do not panic. Always remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs. No? Actually, there's always a crisis every 10 years. No? It's something biblical. It's actually every 7 to 10 years, you can expect a crisis. No? So biblical yan, from the time of Joseph, no, in the Pharaohic times, the Pharaoh of Egypt dreamt of 7 years of famine and 7 years of abundance. So lagging 7 to 10 years. So always remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs. No? Secure your basic needs first, then psychological needs, then your needs for self-fulfillment. So that's the hierarchy. Then after going back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I want you to remember an acronym I made. No, I made an acronym. It's SCREAM. So SCREAM. SCREAM. So sigaw.
Scream. Okay, scream.
Scream, yes. First, do not panic, di ba? Then after not panicking, you want to scream. Okay, you want to scream. Why? You want to remove all that negative energy, those anxiety, those worries. No, isigaw mo yan, ilabas mo yan. So SCREAM is an acronym I made in times of crisis, no, which I will share to you. So S stands for securing yourself, no. Secure yourself first. Secure yourself, your family, secure your job, and secure your cash flow. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then C stands for cash on hand. Okay? Always, each one of us should have a home fire safe vault. No, kahit maliit lang, basta hindi nabubuhat. Mm-hmm. Okay? That vault, that fire safe vault, no, that safe, no, should contain, always contain cash on hand. No, the rule of thumb here is at least 50,000 per head.
Per head, so like why? Family head, family.
Yes, yes, yes. Why? Because in times of crisis, there may be some restrictions in place. You may not have access to your bank accounts. Some of the smaller banks right now, during the lockdown, are open once a week. Then during financial crisis, this is important because a financial crisis often occurs once every 10 years. No, mm-hmm. There may be banking restrictions in place, no, that limits the amount of money you can withdraw to mm-hmm. prevent what we call a bank run. So you always want to have cash on hand. No? Then C also stands for cash flow. So that's the importance. We already discussed it a while ago, the importance of multiple income streams. Then C also stands for coverage, your insurance coverage. No, mm-hmm. Make sure you are covered, no, for this pandemic. Okay. And C also stands for continue saving. Okay. So, kahit crisis, it's even more important to save.
Okay. Cut your gastos.
Yes, yes. Then R stands for remake your budget. So, remake your budget. We are in crisis mode. So, cut your expenses by at least half, no? And do a financial inventory. Okay, mm-hmm. What's a financial inventory? You list down all your assets, you list down your accounts with their current value. You list down in liquidation instruction, no? Sino ba dyan ang unang ibebenta? Sino ba dyan unang Yun. So that's a financial inventory. You keep all those information safe in your personal vault, no? Okay. Kasi very important yan. Kasi in times of incapacitation, like na ICU ka or something, very important to have clear instructions for your next of kin, yes. Then, E stands for earn extra cash, no? A stands for avoid debt, no? Taking out loans during crisis is a double whammy situation. Why? Because your cash flow is already affected and you're taking out a high interest debt, no? So, a credit card loan is 35% per annum in interest, no?
Not good.
Yes, a personal bank loan is around 20%, no? Your SSS and GSIS loan is around 8 to 10%, no? So, yun yun. Then, M stands for manage your expenses, no? And manage your debt, kung may existing utang ka. So, yun ang, always remember, first, do not panic, and number two, scream. Okay? And finally, number three, kindness of heart, no? In times of crisis, it's our humanity that should shine, no? So we should emphasize the importance of kindness of heart. If we had it bad, a lot of people had it worse than us.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. That's a nice one, huh? Scream.
Yes. Then, do not forget. Yes.
Do not forget. You won't forget that. Because
there's a crisis every 10 years. You make use of this every once in 7 or 8, 10 years.
Yeah, because I remember 1997, then 2000, 2008. So it's really every 10 years. Roughly, no, average 10 years. So.
7 to 10, yes.
But you think this thing that happened right now is already part of a risk, a depression like the 2008? Or
actually, the United States is already in recession since February. Okay. The data came out last night, no? They are in recession. The Philippines, we are projected to go into a recession. Because why? After this pandemic, there's a lot of there's a spike in unemployment, and there's a lot of companies closing down right now. So we're in for the long haul, no? However, to give you hope, no, the forecast for 2021 is very good, actually.
Okay, that's good. Nice to hear.
Yes.
Especially from you.
Yes.
Okay. Now we were able to scream, no? Don't panic and scream. Now the light shines, no? The light shines and the crisis is over. How do we rebuild and grow again our investment, Francis?
So after the crisis, no? I have 5 R's naman. So it's rest, rebuild, replenish, restore, and rethink. Rest, why? Nakakapagod during crisis, no? Physically, naka-lockdown tayo, pero emotionally, it's very heavy. And mentally and spiritually, nakakapagod. So rest after a crisis. Rebuild. We have to rebuild our connections, no? Rebuild our senses, no? Rebuild our connections to our patients, no? We have to inform them that we are already back and practicing, and we have taken these steps to ensure their safety as well as yours, no? So it's time to rebuild that, no? Then replenish. Replenish the 6 months worth of emergency cash. So most probably some of us already tap into our emergency cash. So after the crisis, it would be wise, you know, the importance of having an emergency fund. It would be wise to replenish that fund as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Yes. Then rethink your strategies, no? Rethink your strategies. So if you haven't started investing, the time after a crisis is the perfect time to invest. I can still vividly remember buying my first Jollibee shares at 25 pesos per share.
Ang swerte mo naman.
Way back in 2000, I think 8 or 9. Then I was able to sell it. I was able to sell it for 250 pesos.
Wow.
So that was right after that crisis. So you want to be invested during the recovery because you don't want to miss that boat, because that boat only arrives once every 10 years. And that boat would catch the big wave, and you want to be with that big wave.
Okay. So I love the scream. I love the 5 R's. And now it's actually the end of the interview, and we've touched on so many things, no? Francis touched when to start, no? What type of basic things to do, like your primary level, secondary level, the importance of cash flow, the different type of assets, cash, bonds, stocks, real estate rates, gold, and cryptocurrency, and what to do during and after the crisis. Well, Francis, thank you very much for gracing the episode. No,
maraming salamat. Thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
I remember I make you kulit every time, but finally you.
There's just a lot of webinars.
I know.
I think I did like 8 for different societies already.
Yeah, just to give you a background. I have to tell you them first your background. He's a ophthalmologist, no, but he's a financial guru advisor at heart. He always lectures online and in other societies about investments. That's why he's our guest today, because he's the most knowledgeable about all of these things that we talked about. So go ahead, Francis.
I did a webinar with Docquity. It's an app for doctors. I'm encouraging our listeners, no, our fellow doctors, no, if you have the time, you can visit, download the app, no, on the webinars tab. Just type my name, John Francis. Then there's a lecture. That lecture already had 26,000 views all over. Wow. Southeast Asia in 2 weeks time. So that's nice. Pretty good number already. So I think you'll learn a little more information in additional information in that lecture as well. So please download the app and listen to that webinar as well.
Okay, so that's Docquity. It's an app, so you download and then you can view the lecture.
It's an app for doctors, no?
Yeah, an app for doctors. I think you need your PRC card, no? When you enroll.
Yes, that's correct. Right? They'll verify that you're a physician.
Yeah, they will verify you're a physician. Okay. So, Francis, no, and any last words or inspiring words to our listeners, and you know, before you go.
So. I'd like to encourage our listeners, no, to start your own financial journey. No, don't worry about if you're taking small steps. Everything begins with a single step. I would like to recommend a book, no, if you have the time. It's called The Little Book of Common Sense Investing. It's by John Bogle. It's a very simple book. It's a easy to understand book. If you have the time, find that book and read it, no, because it will define your overall investing strategy. So again, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, Francis. Dr. Francis Hawk, no? Our ophthalmologist financial advisor. And hopefully I can invite you again in other episodes. Let's talk about in detail of some of the things that we talked about here. So that's our episode for tonight. And this is Dr. Raul Henson, the Medicine of Success podcast. Watch out for my other episodes next time. Stay safe, keep safe, and God bless.